Okay, Boker Tov. We're holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're right at the bottom of the Amud Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We were discussing the halachas of killing an animal, killing dangerous animals on Shabbos. We brought a memory from Rishon Levi that any dangerous animal could be killed. We then brought a memory, a brice that seems to say only five dangerous animals could be killed. The Marsan basic chiluk. It depends if the animal is chasing a person. If it's chasing a person, then of course any animal could be killed. That's Rebbe Pekuch Nefesh. If it's not chasing the person, then specifically these five animals, these critters, are very dangerous and they can, one can take the initiative and kill it. So we quote a memory from Abba Bar Kahanan. The name is important because we're going to quote a few more memories from the same author coming onto today's daf. So the memory quoted yesterday from Abba Bar Kahanan was that a snake fell in the Beis Medrash. One of the Talmidim in the Medrash went and killed it, and Rebbe got up and said, Paga by Ketzbay, he met his match, so to speak. He met something similar to it. And the question was Rebbe giving a praise and saying that the snake met its match and what the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash did was good? Or was Rebbe saying negative that the snake met its match and met like another snake, so to speak? The person should not have engaged in killing the snake. Someone went to be arrived from Rabbi Yannai, because Rabbi Yannai was asked on his porch, Rabbi Yannai was asked to Shadla, do you kill snakes and scorpions? He said, Rabbani answers, I kill even wasps on Shabbos. Certainly I'd kill snakes and scorpions. So it would be Uriah. Rabbani was a Talmud of Rebbe, and therefore Rabbani was sanctioning killing snakes and scorpions. Rebbe must have been praising the Talmud, not giving him Musar. On that says the Gemara, no, the Gemara deflects that Dilma Fitume, Rabbani is killing of the wasps, and Rebbe, with this that he would kill the snake was only lifi tumai. Only if it was being done unintentionally, like innocently, as he was moving along, he would happen to step on it, he'd kill it. But he wouldn't go and intentionally step on it to kill it. That is the explanation given by Rashi. Now, Rashi is learning a huge chiddush over here in this lifi tumai. Rashi is learning that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who was melacha shen tzich lugov v'schayev, if one was to kill an animal completely while he's walking without any intent, because killing the animal is obviously, we're talking about dangerous animals, they're things that can harm, and the person's doing it without any intent, even Rabbi Yehuda says, Malcha Chain Sukhufa, or really, Davishem is Chayev, Davishem Skavin is Chayev. Over here, the Rabbanon relaxed it because of the dangerous creatures, and the guy's really not intending Bechlal. That combination makes him mutter. Big Chiddush in Rashi. Rabbanon takes issue with this. Rabbanon's bothered that Rabbi Yannai is asked, do you kill snakes? And he says, I even kill wasps. So to say he kills them unintentionally when he makes this announcement, I kill wasps, sounds like he is doing it intentionally, number one. Number two, so besides for being intentional, Rabbi Huda is always the sheet that were machmer, even Amlach Shen Sichufa, Tavish Shem Skav machmer, all of a sudden here being Mekel. Therefore, Ramban argues with Rashi. Ramban says, very big chiddush over here, his explanation. We're going in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Tavish Shem Skav is mutter. Amlach Shen Sichufa is pater avl asa midra banan. So over here, the issue we're dealing with is Bechal Darabanan, because you don't need to kill the animal for killing its purposes. You're just trying to remove the nuisance, the danger. Therefore, it's only Darabanan to begin with. And Darabanan relaxed. There is sir, in a case of danger, hence the reason why it was permissible. When Rabbi Yannai said lefitume, sounds like is while I'm walking, I happen to step on it. Not that I do it directly. Sounds like there's some sort of level of it's unintentional. The way Rashi is explaining, Ramban says it doesn't mean that way. Ramban says what it means is that even according to Rabbi Shimon, that when it's dangerous animals, the Rabbanon relax their prohibition, relax their issue of davar shem iskaven the iser by amlach shen tzich gufa. They relaxed it and said that it's not mamish. It's not us, it's going to be even mutter l'chatchila. You should still do it in a way that appears unintentional. Very interesting. Even though it's taka mutter, the Rabbanan said, do it in a way that appears unintentional. So if you tumay according to Ramban in the Gemara means, do it as if it appears unintentional, not that it actually was unintentional. Okay, so that was the Gemara's deflection, and therefore we have no raya that Rebbe was giving the Talmud, was praising the Talmud. Maybe he was still upset at the Talmud. We have no clear indication. So another similar story. Abba Bar Marta, this is where we left off. Do Abba Bar Miyami have a maskebe Reish Glusa Zuzi? Abba Bar Marta, who's also Abba Bar Miyami, the question was maybe one was his mother's name, one was his father's name. He was owed money. He owed money to Reish Glusa. Reish Glusa is the powerful family in Bavel. They brought him to the palace and they were chopping him to pay the money. Havashadirai, because there was some spit in the ground and they didn't know how to deal with the spit on Shabbos. They didn't want to rub it into the ground, because we spoke out in the Gemara yesterday that rubbing spit into the ground could level the ground, could be a Shabbos, could be a problem on Shabbos. So they wanted to bring something to cover it. Amalahu. They said, I'm bring a kli and cover over the spit so no one steps in it to rub it into the ground, which will cause it to level the ground and be a problem on Shabbos. So Abba Marta said, you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. Ravida said, "Darsa fitumai." One can step on a fitumai while he's walking unintentionally. Fitumai, we'll go Rashi's malach. If he can walks and unintentionally rubs into the ground, then that is not a problem, and therefore you don't have to cover it. Let people just step in it accidentally, and it'll be fine. Amalus, they said, "Oh my gosh, Tiver Abanu." We have this Talmud Chacham, this Chashavid, this Talmud Chacham, and we're busy chaperoning him. Shavku, let's leave him alone. Let's not chaper him about his loan. They didn't want to chaper him, considering he was such a big Talmud Chacham. The Mefarshim discussed what on earth is going on over here. They're collecting money from him on Shabbos. They're shaking him down. They're tormenting him on Shabbos like money. So the different Malachim in the Rishonim, Rabbi Prachya brings that Enochrami, Rabbi, he was being detained already during the week, and it happens to be he was still around on Shabbos when the story popped up, but they weren't trying to get money from him on Shabbos. They were bothering him on Friday for money. He was still around when Shabbos started, and then the story of the spittle happened, so they saw his response, they saw his Talmud Chacham, so they let him go, but they weren't bothering him for the money on Shabbos, they're bothering him for the money prior to Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Mechai learns, Rabbi Prachya learns. However, the Ein Yaakov, in the Yaakov, the Sefer, the Pirush Habayna, in Yaakov, he brings that there were time periods, we know, that Reish Kehusa were really not upstanding citizens. They were actually pretty bad people. And he says, and therefore, it's possible that, yes, even on Shabbos, they were shaking down, they were pressuring Abba Bar Marta to pay his debt. Unfortunately, it wouldn't be a stira. Okay. Says the Marvaiter, next Shaila. I'm Rab Abba. Now, the reason why this comes up is not really, and Shabbos halachas, but not really related to Sugya, but the author of this is the same author who spoke by the snakes in the Beis Medrash. I'm Rab Abba Bar Kahana. That's the same author. I'm Rab Chanina. Ptumah shel Beis Rabbi, mutl tatum Shabbos. The candelabras of Rabbi's house can be moved on Shabbos. Now, these candelabras, the first will explain, are candelabras that are made of a single piece. They weren't made of these little different sections. They weren't sectional. They were made of one piece because we had a Gemara back enough. I think it's Memhei Mavav. We had the Gemara says that if a menorah made of sections could be a problem because if it comes apart, you may come to rebuild it. Actually, very, very relevant to today's daf because we're starting Mirtz Hashem. We're going to finish this parak called Kisvan, start the new parak called Kalim, which deals right in the beginning with the idea of building binyan within Kalim alone. So the basic issue of the sectional menorah is that if it falls apart, you're going to put it back together, which according to, we explained many times this Masechta, according to Tosfos, when you fix a kli completely, when you build a kli completely, yesh binyan bekelim, it's an issue of baina. Rashi over there explains the issue is on baina. Rashi the Shtasri says no binyan bekelim across the board, and Rashi says the issue is makab patash by the menorah. Okay, but either way, the menorah, which is made of pieces, cannot be moved, cannot be transferred, but a menorah that's a single piece could be moved. Okay, the menorah of a single piece, could be moved. Now that's these menorahs of Beis Rebbe. Rabbeinu Prachya, again, second Rabbeinu Prachya of the day, Rabbeinu Prachya points out that this menorah obviously was not lit on Shabbos. If it was lit on Shabbos, it would be Muktza Machmas Isser. And this menorah also wasn't really used recently in order that it would be dirty. If it was used recently and it was dirty, Schmutzig, it would be Muktza Machmas Mias. So we're talking about menorah that you let it move because it wasn't used on Shabbos and it wasn't dirty, and therefore you don't have the Muktza issues. It's one piece, and therefore you don't have the Binyan Bekelim issue, and therefore you let it move it. Ask the Gemara Shaila, how big is this menorah? Bezeri asked, you tell him, are we talking about a menorah that's able to be taken with one hand, or even a menorah that requires two hands to take it? Again, very similar to the Gemara right over there at that location was discussing, in the Mems, not from Hay, was discussing something which needs two hands to be moved. Maybe it's heavy, and when you go, the way Rashi explains it, when you set it down, it's considered it's like almost like a binyan, because since it's not meant to normally be moved, when you set it down, it's like a permanent fixture, and it's like you're doing an Isser binyan. So you let it move even a large menorah that requires two hands, or no, only a menorah that requires one hand. Top of Kufchav Beis of an Aleph. Amar Leiser of Abba Kana responded, like those menorahs of your father's house, which Rashi explains to mean the small menorahs, tafka small menorahs of your father's house, tafka those menorahs can be moved. Big menorahs indeed cannot be moved. Why? Because this issue, because you're being kaveilam. Look at Tap Rashi, last words of Tap Rashi on the page. You're being kaveilam makam. Gedelos, he can't move because you're being kaveilam makam. He's saying in its place, which is like some sort of form of baina. Taisvis, the other Rishonim argue Rashi, because if you look back at the Gemara Daf Mem Hey, the Gemara seemed to the outcome over there was that we're not makbid that being kaveh makam is like a form of binyan. We're not makbid, so big kelim should not be a problem based on the Gemara earlier. And therefore, on the contrary, they learn what does it mean again. The Gemara wasn't clear what it says. The Gemara just says like the menorahs of your father's house. That's the size. Doesn't say if that's big or small. Tosfos therefore learns it's big. You're allowed to move the menorahs of Beis Rebbe which are like the Meiros Yifrathus house, which are also big, even big menorahs are allowed to be moved. Not just moments, even big could be moved, because we're not makbid on this idea of Kveilim Makam, exactly opposite Rashi's Malach. That's the Tosfos, and others should learn that they are, even though they're Gedalim, they can yes be moved. Another member from the same author, there's a third member we're having from him, Amar Abba Barkana, Amar Abchanina. The first one was a story about the snake of the Beis Medrash. This is the second halacha that we're quoting. The kranes, the wagons of Rebbe's household, could be moved on Shabbos. These are wagons that are meant to either move items or move even people. These are wagons that can move the Shabbos. And the question again is how big? Are we talking about wagons that can be moved only if they're able to be moved by even one person? Or even wagons that require two people to move them, even that could be moved on Shabbos. Again, like those of your father's household. And again, we have machlekes in the Rishonim. Rabbi Nachman learns that it means small wagons, like Kaiser Shabbos Avicha. Other Rishonim learns it means even big wagons. The Amar Abba Barkana, and another member, with the third halacha, fourth member that we have from Rabbi Barkana on this Amad. Hittir Lahem. Rabbi Chanin Lebeis Rabbi Lishes Yaim Bekronis Shadachri Bechaysem Echad. The Rabbi Chanina was matir in the base Rebbe. Rabbi Chanina was matir the base Rebbe to drink wine that was moved on the wagons of the guy, even with one seal. Typically, we know there's a kind of Yain Nesach, there's a kind of Stam Yainim Yain by guy. We have to be concerned that they did some worshiping with it, perhaps Avay Dezara and Aser. Yet, and therefore, only if it has a seal is it permissible. Over here, in Beis Rebbe, they're matter with one seal. Normally, you say you need two seals. Over here, even with one seal, they're matter. V'leya dana. Now, I know they're matter in Beis Rebbe even with one seal. V'leya dana, but I don't know why. Imishim desavel like Reb Lezer. There's actually a machlekes. I spoke matter of factly. They need two seals. It's actually a machlekes, Reb Lezer and the Chamim. Reb Lezer holds one seal sufficient. Reb Lezer holds one seal sufficient. The Rabbanan say you need two seals. So he says, this then in Beis Rebbe, they're matter one seal. I'm not sure if the reason is because they go like Reb Lezer, who holds one seal is enough. Or maybe because Rebbe's house, Rebbe's the Nasi, Rebbe's house is different. The Nachrim, the servants, would be scared or to do something wrong with Rebbe's stuff because Rebbe's the Nasi, and therefore for Rebbe, one seal's enough, but for everyone else, you need two seals. So I'm not sure if we're passing Rebbe Lazar that one seal's enough, or Rebbe's house is different because Rebbe's the Nasi, therefore, Adafka Rebbe, one seal's enough, elsewhere, one seal wouldn't be enough. Of course, famous reminder that this Isser of Stam Yainim, of Yain Nesach potentially, is only where? Only by a case of Yain She'inim Mevushel, only by non-cooked wines. Once Yain's Mevushel, the Xer was never said on Yain Mevushel. Reason is because typically they didn't use cooked wines for the libations, since they didn't use cooked wines for libations, so the whole Gezerah of Stam Yainim didn't apply by cooked wines. Even though there's another reason for why Yayin of Goyim is Aser, and that's because of Chasnas, of course. Another reason is because we may come to marry into the Goyim, if we drink their wine, share the wine, we may come to marry into the Goyim, and that reason, L'chayra, that reason would apply, whether it's cooked or not, but the reason of Avodah Zarah only applies when the Yayin is raw. Could be, you could say that since, especially back in the day, cooked wine was considered less chashiv, maybe also it's considered less of a chashiv drink, and therefore maybe even for Chasnas, it was less of an issue as well, perhaps. Okay. Zakti Mishnah. Back to, again, Dinim of Goyim on Shabbos. So, yesterday we spoke out the concept of Amir L'Akam. Kedai for us to chazer very quickly, what the three reasons for the Gzeira Shvus, this Drabon Amir L'Akam. Again, we did point out there is a Shita Smag, I think it's important to say for Shumas, that Amir L'Akam is Asma Deraisa. That's a Kiddush. Question if there was someone to say he didn't really mean it, didn't mean Deraisa. But let's go to the assumption of Rav Rishayim, that the Isra of Amir L'Akam is the Shvus, it's Drabonon. What is the reason behind the Shvus? So we give three reasons. We said from Rashi in Avodah Zarah, the reason is for Dabra Dover, you can't speak on Shabbos by something that you can't do. So telling the Gadim to do Malacha for you on Shabbos is Dabra Dover, speaking on something you can't do. That's a problem. We said from Rambam, the issue is that if a person is able to do Malacha Zayidei Guy on Shabbos, it's going to come to him being a Kalkite, a leniency in Shabbos. He may come to the Malachas himself, it's a Gzeira. He may come to be lenient and do Malacha himself on Shabbos. And we have a third reason, Rashi and Shabbos, Tafkuf and Gimel, Rashi coming up in 30 blah, where Rashi says the problem is Shlichas. The guy's my Shlich and Shlichas Chalim Kamesai. So what he does is Mizachas to me. So if I did the Malach on Shabbos, those are the three reasons. We spoke out very, very basic Afkaminas. If the problem is, well, let's ask the question. Could the Yid tell the guy on Friday, could he instruct him on Friday to do Malach for him on Shabbos? We spoke out, if you go to reason of Rashi v'dabru davar, Rashi and Avodah Zarah, v'dabru davar, dabru davar is a problem on Shabbos, not a problem on Friday. I certainly can tell the guy, tell the guy on Friday to do Malach for him on Shabbos. However, if you go Ramam's issue, that it's, when the guy does Malach for him on Shabbos, it makes a kalkite, it makes Shabbos more lenient, I make up do Malach myself, or you go to the idea of Shlichus, then that would apply even if I tell the guy on Friday, it's still a problem if the malacha is actually taking place on Shabbos. On the flip side, what about if I tell the guy on Shabbos about doing a malacha for me on Sunday? I tell the guy on Shabbos, do a malacha for me on Sunday. If you go like Rashi b'davar davar, Rashi b'davar davar, that's a problem. I'm still telling him about, on Shabbos about a malacha, which I can't do on Shabbos, that's b'davar davar. If you hold, however, the issue is, it's making a leniency, a kalkat on Shabbos, seeing the malacha being done, which is Rambam, or shluchas on the kamaisai, that the guy shlichas is like me doing the malacha is taking place on Sunday. And therefore, it would not be an issue according to Rambam and according to Rashi and Dafkav and Gimel. Of course, if I tell him on Shabbos, do a malacha for me on Shabbos, that's going to be usher according to all three malachim. That'll be usher telling him on Shabbos, do a malacha for me on Shabbos, that'll be usher according to malachim. Okay, that's the idea of a mila akim. Now, what's important for this mission is there's another element. When there are banu gezer, and this is why I'm already going to answer Rambam's explanation why there's not called gezer gezera. When there are banu gezer, a mila akim, the Rabbanan said, if I'm gezer mila akim, without being gezer, isser hana of Maisa Akam on Shabbos, the one gezeira without the other doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's because if a guy could do something for me without me directly telling him to do it, so then eventually people will get smart, get wise, they'll have the guy do malachas for them without actually making the amira. So nichlal in the gezeira, at the same time when they make gezeira of mila akam, the Rabbanim made another gezeira, which is again less well known. Everyone has heard about mila akam, but it's a gezeira of hanas Maisa Akam. If a guy does a malacha on Shabbos for me, that's the key words. If he does it for me or for a yid on Shabbos, it's usher for me to benefit, even if I didn't tell him. Which creates a whole, it creates by the way, a whole monkey wrench in this business of people being remiz, remiza, right? Saying if I tell the guy I'm remiza, it's mutter. It's not true. It's not true. There are cases, it's more mishnah berurah lemaisa. There are cases where remiza does help. We have to get into more very specific halachas. It's not even so clear. Not even so, not everyone even agrees. Mishnah berurah in two places, mishnah berurah almost is actually has conflicting mashmaisas. In one place, he's actually mashmah that remiza basically never works. Other places, he's mashmah that he says that remiza, halacha lemaisa, in certain instances does work. But the point is, remiza itself is not necessarily a heter because if the guy does a malacha on Shabbos for me, even if I didn't ask him, it's still aser bahana. That's going to be this mishnah. This mishnah is on the second level of this gezeira. The gezeira number one was amir lakum is prohibited. Telling the guy to do something is prohibited. Gezeira number two is if the guy does it on his own volition, specifically on behalf of the yid, that also can be prohibited. Nachu should lick as a ner. If a guy light a candle for himself, not for the yid, then the yid can use the light because once he did it for himself, then it's not considered he's doing it for the yid. Then the yid's allowed to benefit. Agav. However, v'im b'shul Yisrael aser. But if the guy did it for the yid directly, then it's aser even without the amira. Mile mayim. Again, we explain this from the Rambam. It's kula chata gezeira. It's all done at the same time. The original gezeira. Otherwise, the one gezeira wouldn't have teeth without the other. Mile mayim lashkeis l'behemday. If he drew up water, let's assume he's taken from shesiyachid into shesrabim. He drew up water to feed his animal, to give his animal to drink. Mashkech v'Yisrael. So if he did it for his own animal, the yid could let his animal drink from it. However, mishli Yisrael, if the guy did it purposely for the purpose of the yid, then it's a problem. In mishli Yisrael, aser. Now, there's actually a big discussion on this. When we say imishu yisrael aser, what does that mean? Imishu yisrael aser, does that mean if he did it for the yid himself or for the yid's animal? The first one explained, the pastor was talking about when he did it for the yid's animal. When he did it for the yid's animal, that's when it is a problem. But Taisus brings a machlekes to bring the tam and the re, whether or not if he did it for the yisrael. What if the nachri filled up the word of yisrael is a mut? And this gets into a fundamental machlekes. What if the nachri did something for the yid, ayidei malacha, that the yid could have done himself without being a malacha? Remember, drawing the water up for the well and feeding the animals, taking it from Shus Yachid into Shus Rabim, it's a problem. But the Yid technically could have climbed into the well and drank the water himself. The guy did a wonderful act. He drew water for the well and brought it to the Yid. Over Malacha of Eitza, of Achrasa, right? Of taking of Eitza for Shus Yachid to Shus Rabim. Could the Yid drink from this water? So it's Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam in the Re, if we say that since the Yid could do it himself without being over Malacha, therefore it's permissible for the yid to benefit over here, because he didn't need the malacha to be done. Agam, the guy did a malacha, he didn't need it, and therefore it's mutter. Whereas, or we say, no, since the ma'is malacha was done, he can't benefit. So when the Mishnah says that what? That the if the guy did it for the yid, it's prohibited. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's dafka when he did it for the, we're talking about the yid's animal. The guy did it for the yid's animal. The animal can't climb into the bar, and therefore it needed to be done, taken, haitza had to be done. That's when it's also for the yid to benefit, because it was done for the purpose of the yid, for the yid's animal. For the yid himself, it would be mutter. Whereas re holds that no, that even for the yid himself, it's going to be usser, even though he himself can climb in, it's still going to be prohibited. Okay. Says the Gemara, story. Vimishvili saw Aser. Aser Nachri, sorry, one more halacha, then we see the story. Aser Nachri keves the yerid bay. If the guy made it, say like a ramp, a plane to go from the ship onto dry land on Shabbos, yerid achav Yisrael. The guy made it for himself to get off the ship, and therefore you can use it as well. Vimishvili Yisrael aser, but if it was made specifically for the yid, then it's aser. And the stock of story. How is he going from the ship onto dry land on Shabbos? Is he not going out of his tchum? So the answer is where the ship was already within the 2,000 amas of the shore before Shabbos started. There's a story about Gamil and Zekanim that were traveling in a boat. Vasa Keves, Vasa Nachri Keves, the layered by, and the guy made a ramp for people to get off this, to get off the boat, to disembark from the boat. The yard by Rav Gamil and Zekanim, and Rav Gamil and Zekanim Taka got off. They Taka used the boat, and they made use of it and came off the boat onto dry land on Shabbos. That's Rav Tzricha. We need all three of these cases. Yesh min ner. First halacha by ner, where he told me that if the guy does it for himself, he can benefit. Meshum de ner chaner lemeya. That's the famous idea where a lamp is used for one person, can be used for 100 people. It doesn't diminish when you use the lamp, the fire, the light. Me using the light doesn't diminish from you using the light. And therefore it makes sense to say that when the guy did it for himself. Completely, and the yid's just benefiting. But by water, it's a big chilek. By water, the guy needs for his animals 5 gallons. Maybe because he knows there's other yid and there's people around, he purposely went and took 7 gallons, 8 gallons, so that's considered, even though he's taking water anyway, maybe he says he's being mafushe, he's being marbin the shear, he's taking extra on behalf of the yid, and maybe it should be a problem. Kamashman, even then, as long as the guy is doing it for himself, even if he may be generous in what he does for himself, because there's others that are going to use it anyway, since the mice did it for himself, it's mutter for the benefit. Fact of kevish lamai. So you explain to me why you need the first two cases of fire, of candlelight, and the case of filling up water. What's the additional chiddush of the case of the kevish, of the plank leaving from the boat to dry land, building the ramp? Maisa bring a meal, it's a kind of kabashman. We want the shishal achla maisa, meaning that there's a maisa shaya wearing a meal, and his chaver and zakenim actually used it, because that maisa has, because the halacha has a story to back it up, we quoted that story, that halacha, as well. Tarabanim. Nachush likin asavim. A guy that's gathering grasses for his animal, fodder. Machlach Rav Yisrael. So once he gathered grass for his animal to eat, a Yisrael can feed his own animal after the guy's animal. Same idea, because already was done. The guy did it for himself, not for the yid. It's already done. The malach is done for the guy. Whatever's left over, the yid could benefit. Vimishvi Yisrael aser. But however, if the guy gathered the grass, he cut the grasses, gathered ma'amer, or he cut it off the ground for the yid, on Shabbos, for the yid's animal, that's a problem. Similarly, if he drew water to feed his animal, Yisrael could benefit from that water for his animals well afterwards. But if it was done on behalf of the yid, aser, then it's aser. When is this halacha said? She'ein makirei, dafka, where the guy doesn't recognize the yid, where he doesn't know the yid. However, av makirei, if the guy knows the yid, then we have a problem. Av makirei aser, if the guy knows the yid, then it's aser. And the logic being, the Mar is assuming logic is, because if the guy knows the yid, then we have to assume that the guy, when he's doing it, has the yid in mind. He knows him, knows the yid needs this usage. He's having in mind specifically when he's doing it, and therefore it's a problem. Ask the Mar Eini, we'll go back to the case of the boat. Va'amar, actually before that. Va'amar. A person could stand his animal over grass that's attached on Shabbos, but not on grass, on muktzah grass on Shabbos. Very interesting chiddush. Grasses that are still attached, there's less of a concern. Why? This gets back to the idea. Because it's that for the person to rip out the grass, help us feed his animal, that would be an act of a chil Shabbos daraisa. We're not concerned the person will go so far to rip out grasses on Shabbos. But if the grass was already plucked, but it's muktzah, for him to be get involved with muktzah, maybe it would be over. So allowing a person to stand his animal over grass that's attached, whereas, the grasses that are no longer attached, which are muktzah, he's allowed to feed the animal. The Mar is bothered. So on the on this first Mar before Mar gets the question on the makirei, which from the case of the boat we'll get to in a minute, the Mar is bothered by the first halacha. You tell me when the guy fed the animal and there's leftover, the yid can go feed his animal in the same spot. But we see in this halacha that grasses that are detached, which are muktzah, because these grasses were attached when Shabbos started. So grasses that are attached to muktzah, a yid's not allowed to stand his animal over these grasses. So what's the benefit that you're saying the yid, since the guy did the halacha for himself, whatever's left over, the yid can benefit from, the yid's not allowed to stand his animal over these grasses anyway? Says Gemara, to come le ba'apa va'azli v'acha. You're right. The halacha is the yid can't stand over his animal and help his animal be there when his animal eats the food. But if he stands, if feet stands from a side of the animal, and the animal goes and eats by itself, and the ear doesn't get involved in the feeding, that's okay. So the case where the guy fed his animal with grasses on Shabbos and has leftovers, and we said in the Brisa earlier, the yid's allowed to feed his animal, doesn't mean the yid's getting involved in the feeding. Yid's standing on the side, and his animal's going to eat on its own, and that's permissible. But if he had to get involved, it would be a separate issue. We'd be concerned that the yid would be getting involved with muktzah, and that would taka be a separate concern. Amamar. So we gave a qualification in the Brisa. In the Brisa, that when you let it eat from the, when you let it benefit from the guy, shemakirei. When the guy didn't act, did it for himself, and he does not makir the yid. He doesn't know the yid, then it's mutter. Al-makir, if he knows the yid, then it's usser. And again, the assumption is, because if the guy knew the yid, we're assuming he did the malacha both for himself and for the yid. He had the yid in mind, and when he has the yid in mind, that itself makes it a problem because he did extra effort for the yid. In fact, Gemara, but go back to the case of the boat, end of the Mishnah. Al-makir usser, harangamil makir haver, ragamil recognized the guy recognized the yid, ragamil. The assumption was, back in the day, a boat ride wasn't a 2-hour boat ride. Boat rides were for weeks at a shot. If it was weeks at a shot, the guy certainly recognized those people that were on the boat, including Ragamil. So that's called Makire. So Lachar Ragamil shouldn't be able to benefit from the ramp that was built on Shabbos. Answer the Gemara, two answers. Answer number one, Amar Bayesh Le Fun of Havi. Ragamil was downstairs, let's say he was on the lower level of the boat. He wasn't on the deck when the guy made the ramp. And therefore the idea is out of sight, out of mind, he wasn't around, he wasn't looking to disembark from the boat at that moment. And therefore when the guy built the ramp, he built it without Rav Gamil in mind. That is Abaye's answer. Rav Amar, Afithim Bfanav, even if Rav Gamil was around, Ner Laechad Ner Lameh, biggest side, that the ramp that he's building to get off to disembark from the boat, that ramp, whether you build it for one person or you build it for 50 people, doesn't matter. It's the same ramp that you build for one person or for 50 people. And therefore, Rav is saying, Yush Chiddush. The idea of Makira being a problem is only a problem when you can explain that he did something different because of the Yib. But in a case where, even if you recognize the yid, but there's nothing different to happen to take place, like lighting a candle. If the guy needs a candle for himself, he's not doing anything different to the one candle. When he lights it for himself, he lights it for many people. He's doing the same thing. So too, by the ramp, he's not doing any extra effort. Clearly, it's the same effort to build a ramp, whether one person uses that ramp or 50 people use the ramp, and therefore it's not a problem. Meisvei Marzakasha on Rav's answer. Meisvei Amlam Rangamil Hayol Veshleva Fenenu Asu Neridbay. So this is a brayso that we didn't have this when we quoted the Mishnah in our story. We didn't have this detail. But the Brisa adds, Rav Gamil says, since it was done not in front of us, let us use the ramp, pretty clearly, like Abaye's answer. And the reason why it's permissible is because it was done not in their presence. Had it been done in their presence, it would be a problem of Makirai. So we see, you don't say like Rav's Svara, that Ner Lecha Ner Lameya, by this ramp, that we have to assume that maybe he had in mind, he did effort on behalf of the Yid. Says the Gemara, no. Ema Hoyel Vasoi. Narrated by. Tweak the Brisa. Take out the word Shlebefunna, basically. Take the word Shlebefunna out of the Brisa and say, once it's built already, we could benefit, which is exactly Rav's memra. Once it was built for himself, we could benefit from it and take out the word Shlebefunna, and therefore Rav's answer is still going to be a good answer. Okay. Says the Gemara Viter. One second. Just a basic question on these cases of lighting a candle or of other items in the Mishnah. L'chaira, at the very least, the ramp that we just discussed that was being built, the Rishonim are bothered. What happened to the issue of muktzah? It's meaning, which muktzah are we talking about? Nailad. These things didn't exist before Shabbos. So you light a new lamp, right? You build a new ramp, light a new candle. L'chaira did not exist before Shabbos. That's a classic case of nailad. It didn't exist for Shabbos, now it exists on Shabbos. Nailad is usur. Mandeslev muktzah is the nailad. If you hold of nailad, you hold of muktzah, l'chaira, or vice versa. And therefore, you should have a problem with muktzah. Why over here are we letting good, the guy did it for himself? Why are we letting the yid use it? L'chaira, there should be an issue of muktzah. That is the shtark kasha that many of them first mass. The Ritva says a big yisayid, a huge yisayid. The Ritva says the yisayid of muktzah is usur to move. We discussed in the past. Muktzah is usur to move. Muktzah is not usur to benefit from. Muktzah is not usur to have enough from. Classic case. The candle, the lamp. A lamp that's lit before Shabbos is also muktzah. Muktzah machmas isur can be muktzah machmas mias if it's a dirty lamp, right? Yet you still benefit from the whole point of Shabbos left is to be able to see your food better. You still benefit from it. You let have hana. So therefore it says Ritva that there's no issue of benefiting of using the muktzah. The issue is moving it. Apparently you're not moving the ramp. I guess it was very solid when you walked on the ramp. So unbelievable. You walking on the ramp. right? So not just touching it, walking on it, using the ramp, using the nair is not an issue. It's only a problem if you move the muktzah. That is the ritz v'si sign. Based on this, the Magen Avraham says, if a person's traveling, he's walking, and he gets very tired in the middle of his walk, and he finds a rock to sit on. We know rock stones, typically, we say rocks are usher, the muktzah. Rock is a classic case of muktzah. But if he finds a big rock, and he's able to sit on it, obviously the rock has to be wedged into the ground in a way that when he sits in it, he doesn't move the rock. It's a big rock. So he's allowed to sit in it. Why? Because using muktzah is not a problem. The whole problem is moving muktzah, and therefore that'd be mutter. Says that is exactly the Magen Avraham. However, if Eger makes a big chiluk, he says, and Mishmur, by the way, passes like the Magen Avraham. He brings the kula, one can sit in the rock. However, Kiva Eger does argue on the Magen Avraham, and Kiva Eger says it depends. You have to split up the difference between Hana and Ishtamshus. There's two different things. One's called Hana, one's Ishtamshus. Meaning, when one benefits from a candle, that's called benefiting. That's Hana. You're not being Mishtamish with it. The basic difference is when you're actually lifting, touching the item, when you're using the item itself directly, that's Ishtamshus. Even if you hold muktzah is normally moving muktzah, being mishtamish also would be a problem by muktzah, says Rekiv Eger. Being mishtamish also would be a problem by muktzah. When I benefit from the light, I'm not moving the nair, I'm not touching the nair, I'm just having enough on the nair, and therefore it's okay. I'm not sure what Rekiv Eger does with the ramp. The ramp, I would think walking on the ramp would be a case of Ishtamshus, not just a case of Hana, of Ishtamshus, and therefore we should still have the question by the case of the ramp. But again, the point of Rekiv Eger is, according to Rekiv Eger, by a stone, sitting on the stone is being Mishtamish with the stone directly, that would be a problem on Shabbos, not like the Magen Avraham is saying based on the Ritva. Okay, says the Marvaiter, Tashima. Let's hear another Raya against both Abaya and Rava's explanations, Legabe, how you could benefit, how Makire, Rangamil, is able to benefit by the boat, either because it was labor fun of Koyt Abaya, or Koyt Rava, Nelechon and Lemer. Tashima. Yershi Yisrael, Menachem Darim, B'chasecha, a city that you had both Yidin and Goyim living in the city, Vaisabar Mechatz, Mechatzayas, B'Shabbos, and their bathhouses that were open on Shabbos, Imrev Nachrim, if the majority of people there are Nachrim, then Mutaluchatz B'Miyad, you're allowed to use the bathhouse right after Shabbos because it was being kept warm over Shabbos and heated over Shabbos on behalf for the Goyim. And the Yidden are just agav having another, that's fine. In Rav Yisrael, if it's Rav Yisrael, Yamtin b'dei shichmu machamen. If it's Rav Yisrael, then you have to wait enough time b'dei shiasu mat Shabbos in order for it to heat, because you don't want to have the bathhouse heated. You can't use the bathhouse that's heated for the Yidden. In fact, what's the Mar's question? The Mar's kasha is over there. Ner lechen el meya. Even if they have only some goyim using the bathhouse, when you heat the water, heat the waters is half everybody. So you should have the same heter since it's being heated certainly being heated on Shabbos for goyim. Yidden are not using it on Shabbos, so therefore it should be mutter for the Yidden to use it right away on Shabbos. Why do they have to wait? Answers the Gemara: Hasan ki mechami adait ru mechami. No, because over there the intent of the people when they're heating it up is for rave of their patrons, rave of their clients, and rave of the clients they were Yidden. And therefore, even if a guy is using it on Shabbos, I know he's using it on Shabbos, it's being heated up for the rave of the clients, and therefore rave of the clients, when the rave of the clients are Yidden, therefore it's considered as being done for the Yidden, and that's a problem. When it's done for a guy and a Yid happens to benefit, that's okay. But when it's being done specifically for the Yid, that's certainly going to be an issue. Tashima, another Raya. This Raya is specifically Akasha on Rava. Neradok, the last Kasha was on both. Because on Shabbos, the guy's not around. He's not on top of fun of. And you have Neradok and Neramea. That would be Akasha on both. The answer is that since it's being done specifically for the intent of the Yid, even if he's not around, according to Abaye, or according to Rava, even though you say Neradok and Neramea, if it's being done specifically for the Yid, therefore it's a problem. This question is going to be on Rava. Tashima, Neradok, Bimasiba. A lamp that was lit by a gathering. If Rave the people at the gathering were Gayim and the nair was lit for the people gathered, a Yid could also benefit from the light. Im Rave Yisrael Aser, for most of the people there, Yidden, it was being lit for Yidden, that's Aser. Mechza Aser, if it's 50-50 is Aser. But again, what happened to Ner Lecha, Ner Lemeya? Answer the Gemara, same answer as we just said a moment ago. Hasanami, top of Beis, Kimadlikli, Hasanami, Kimadlikli. Adaita the Ruba, Madhuki over there, when he lights it, Adaita the Ruba clearly does it with intent of most of the majority of the people, and therefore, same story again, therefore, Nelech Lemeh wouldn't apply. Even though, again, the idea is when you light for one person, that same light works for 100 people. So as long as you're lighting it and there's a guy involved, you could say it's Mutter. We say that only applies if it was lit for the guy. If it's lit specifically for the Yid, even though it's lit for Gayim as well, that would not be Mutter, because the Heter of Ner Lecha Ner Lemeh doesn't apply unless it was done for the guy, not for the Yid. Shmuel Iklebe Oven. Aven Turin. Shmuel visited the house of Aven of the place called Turin. Also Unachri Adlik Ashaga. Anach came and lit a lamp. Adrinu Shmuel Ape. Shmuel turned his face away, not to benefit the light. Kivin the Chazda Esi Shtar Vekarhari. Then when he saw that the guy who lit the lamp took out a star and started reading the star, Amar Akishmak Adaitan Avshehu Dadlik. He did it for himself. He did it with his own benefit in mind. And therefore now we have the concept of once they have his own benefit. Ner Lecha Ner Lemeya Adrinu Ilape Kabishaga. Shmuel turned his face back toward the lamp, and he utilized the lamp. Hadin lach kol kisfei mazal. We finished the 16th parak. Just one quick idea on this adai din avshei. Aruch Hashulchan brings a big yisayit over here. A person can make a trick lechatchila, make a trick to cause a guy. We just had this case of Shmuel where the guy lit the lamp in order to read a shtar. And once he lit the lamp in order to read the shtar for himself, Shmuel's benefiting from the light. A person can make a arama with a guy, causing the guy to put in the light for themselves in order for the yid to benefit from the light. And that's totally mutter. For example, let's say the person needs light in a room. So in order to get the guy to put light on, he says, I have a beautiful drink here. Why don't you come, help yourself, come take a drink. It's dark. He can't pour a cup of whatever it is, whatever he's offering the guy to drink without putting the light on. So he offers the guy to have some sort of benefit, something, in which the guy now requires to put the light on for his own purposes to have that benefit. Once the guy puts the light on, that's going to be permissible. For the Aruch HaShulchan, you can be ma'arim. You can make like a trick. Have the guy do it. Adaita d'nafshei. Once it's adaita d'nafshei, then the person is able to benefit. Okay. Zakti Mishnah in the new Perek, 17th Perek, Kol HaKelim. There's one other halacha I wanted to mention. Let's go right there. We'll see if we have time. We'll circle back to it. But it's a big issue, the difference between positive benefit and negative benefit. We'll see. Says the Mishnah. Kol kelim atal b'Shabbos. All kelim can be taken out on Shabbos, can be moved on Shabbos, because the kelim, they're not muktzah, because the kelim, v'dasasemimayim, and the doors, can be moved with them, even if they became detached, you can still move them. It's not comparable to the doors of the house, which cannot be moved once they're detached. House doors are not considered, they're not prepared for use on Shabbos, and therefore that minamuchan, therefore can't be moved when they're detached. That's they're not considered useful as, I mean, that's the pashas in the Rishonim, that the kalim, the covers are also useful even when they're detached. That's a simple explanation of the Rishonim, whereas a door to the house when it's detached is not useful, and therefore the door to the house when it's detached is muktzah, whereas the door to the kelim is attached is mutter even when it's detached. That's a symbolic. Some Rishonim want to say a little stronger that the kelim, the doors of the kelim, are they're fit to be fixed and put right back even when they're detached, even if you can't put it back on Shabbos per se, but since they're fit to be put right back, they're considered aimed to go back, and therefore they're considered mukhan and they're not muktzah. Whereas doors of a bias, not so simple. If it's attached, you reattach, you can make a new mechabel karka, not as simple that it's going to be reattached as quickly, and therefore it's considered muktzah. Big nafkamina in this malach of the Rishonim, big chiddush. According to these Rishonim, the simple way is, again, that the doors of kelim, even when they're detached, are still useful, and therefore they're not muktzah. But if you go with the second malach, that they're destined to be reattached, they're going to be fixed right away, so that would be an nafkamina, whether a button that fell off on Shabbos, possibly we treat a button that fell off on Shabbos as muktzah, button's muktzah. However, if you go with the Svara, the things that are going to be reattached are not a problem of muktzah, then this should not be an issue. This should not be an issue either. Okay, even a button would not be an issue. Such a mishnah biter, neitel adam kurnis, a person could take a hammer, lefteh b'es ha'gezim, to crack open nuts, even though the hammer is a kli, which is normally used for melacha on Shabbos, which is aser, since it could be used also for melacha datera, like breaking up nuts, that's permissible. Kardam lachtach b'es tvela, you could take a big, like an axe to cut open a pressed fig cake, magir lagabras agvina, a saw to slice cheese, again, using kelim, which are normally used for, potentially, their regular usage would be for things that are melacha on Shabbos, but you're using it in a ifen heter, and that's permissible. You could take a shovel to scoop up the dried figs from the bottom of the barrel. You can use like a shovel or pitchfork to put food in it for a child as a kush. The spindle or the weaver's reed in order to normally used to make sure the strings on the warp and the weft are lined up properly in the weaving. Over here, using it to stick in like a toothpick into a fruit and using it to pick up a fruit with it. That's fine. That's mutter. Machashayad litubas kites. A needle of the hand, which again is used for sewing, which is normally usher, using it to remove a splinter, that's fine. We said splinters can be removed on Shabbos. Vishas hakayim, you have to be careful not to extract blood, but splinters technically can be removed. Vishas hakayim, lefteich pesadelas, and the sack, the needle of the sack maker to open the door with it. All these things, these are kelim, which are normally used for malachas that would be usher on Shabbos, but you're using it for something which is mutter, and therefore it's permissible. They're not considered muksa because they have an ifen heter where they could be used. That's the Gemara. Kol kiam to tell them all kiam can be used on Shabbos, can be taken even the doors can be taken. Rafapi shesbak b'Shabbos, even if they became attached to Shabbos. V'lemabay b'chol. So here at the Gemara we spoke out in the Mishnah, Zashal and the Girsa, whether the Girsa were b'Shabbos or not. The Gemara now is b'medayke. Rafapi shesbak b'Shabbos, even if they were detached on Shabbos. V'lemabay b'chol. And certainly, if they're already attached on chol, they could be taken out. Adrabah, the girsa should be the deek should be opposite. B'Shabbos mukhanam agavi aviyim, b'chol ein mukhanam agavi aviyim. It would make more sense that if it got detached on Shabbos, that's when it's mutter, because when Shabbos started, it was already considered mukhan agav the kli. So even though it got detached, it remains mukhan. But if it already was detached during the week, that should be all the more reason why it'd be usher on Shabbos, because it already was detached during the week and therefore it wasn't mukhan when Shabbos started, and therefore it should be a problem. So the deek of shenispark b'Shabbos that became detached on Shabbos is mashma. That the Mishnah is saying, even on Shabbos, and certainly if it became detached during the week, if anything, it should be opposite. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, you're right. Hachamar, kol kiam b'tol b'Shabbos, v'tazzeh mam, afal pishan, esporka b'chol n'tol b'Shabbos. You have to read it the other way. All kiam are able to be moved on Shabbos, including with their doors, not just the kiam themselves, even though they became detached during the week. Again, our Mishnah didn't say those words, but we're reading into the Mishnah. Even if it became detached during the week, and certainly if it became detached on Shabbos, it's mutter to move on Shabbos, but it's not going to be considered muktzah. Tarabarim. The door of a trunk, of a closet, of a wagon. It can be removed out of its socket on Shabbos, but it can't be put back in. The door of a chicken coop, the that cannot be removed, nor could it be taken back in. Samar explains. Since the chicken coop is attached to the ground, yesh binyan b'karka, yesh tiyur b'karka. So the chicken coop is attached to the ground, taking the door off and on is binyan and tiyur b'karka. Therefore, it's a problem. The door of the closet, the door of the trunk, the door of the chicken coop. Sorry, of not the chicken, of the carriage. So these three things are not attached to the ground. So my kasavar, manavshach, you're allowing him to detach it, but not to, you're not allowing it to attach it. What's the difference? Ikas of Yeshbin Mikalim, if you're this binyan Mikalim, we're talking about Kalim, it's not attached to the ground. These things, these closets, these chests. So if it's not attached to the ground, must be you hold binyan Mikalim. If you hold binyan Mikalim, then there should be a problem both directions. Ikas of Yeshbin Mikalim, Yeshtir Mikalim, Vienstir Mikalim, and binyan Mikalim. If you hold this Isra of binyan Mikalim, it's a steer as well. Why let it take off the doors? Why can't you just, you were saying you're not allowed to put it on, but you're allowed to take it off. You shouldn't be able to take it off either. If there's an Isra of Binyan, there's an Isra of Stira. And Elamai, you hold, but Kalim, it is no Isra of Binyan. There's no Isra of Stira either. There's no Isra of Stira. There's no Isra of Binyan either. You should be able to both take it off and put it on. Says the Gemara, Amar Baye, Elam Kasavar, Yesh Binyan Bekalim, Yesh Tir Bekalim. Here's where we reference this early in the Daf. Here's where we're going to have this famous Bechleikis, Rashi, and Taisvis about Binyan Tir Bekalim. La Elam Kasavar, Yesh Binyan Bekalim, Yesh Tir Bekalim, Vishinin Lukamar. We're really old. The Tana holds that there is Binyan Bekalim and there's Tir Bekalim. When it said in the Braisa that you're allowed to take it off, it didn't mean you're allowed to take it off on Shabbos. It meant these items where the door was taken off already. Once it was taken off, you're not allowed to put it back on. But you're talking, weren't allowed to take it off either. The Chatchila on Shabbos. That's how Abaye learns. Rav says, I have two problems. We've said this many times in Shas. Rav has two problems. His two problems are they circle around the fact that number one, you're not fitting into the words, and number two, he has an issue with the Teretz itself. So says Rav, the Braisa didn't say it was removed, those that were already removed. It said, which is mashma, that they are allowed to be removed on Shabbos itself. So it's mashma that's being currently removed, not that it already was removed. And furthermore, my avolim achzirin. What does it mean when it says avolim achzirin? You cannot return it. Meaning, you're telling me that we're talking about, tell me, Nightland doesn't mean that it's allowed to be removed. Nightland means that it was already removed before Shabbos. So then what's avolim achzirin? But you can't put it back. I couldn't do Nightland on Shabbos either. You tell me, Hakam Eskinan, we're talking about a case where it already was removed before Shabbos, so it doesn't pass the word Avil, but you can't put it back. No, Avil. You weren't allowed to take it off either. It happened to have been taken off before Shabbos, according to your interpretation of Abaye. So both in the wording and the lumdus, your answer doesn't fit the Braisa. Elam Rava, therefore Rava says, and by the way, we pointed out many times, whenever Rava asked these questions, usually Abaye was well aware, and whoever Rava was asking on was well aware of the Girsa. Abaye held the question so stark, we have to tweak the Girsa, like we've done in today's daf. On more than one occasion, we've tweaked the Girsa actually, ironically enough, I'm half of Rabbah. We took the gears of a brisa. We switched it from when it says the word shleib b'fanav. We took out the word shleib b'fanav. Even on behalf of we did on behalf of Rabbah on Amud Aleph. We did that earlier. So we do find that Abaya was clearly aware that the brisa's words need to be tweaked. Okay, Rabbah held still too much of an issue. Abaya did not. Elam Rabbah answers. We hold that there's no binyan b'kelim as no sir b'kelim. Really, there's no binyan sir b'kelim. So I have here. So if that's the case, why? And that's why taking it out is mutter because there's no binyan b'kelim and no sir b'kelim. But putting back is a separate problem because we're scared that you may come to wedge in a way, yitka, you may come to wedge in a way, which is a problem on Shabbos. What is the problem of yitka? Here's where we have this mechalikas Rashi Taisus. Taisus learns, fixing a kli completely, being mashlam a kli, even if it ain't binyan b'kelim, being mashlam a kli is a problem. So yitka, putting it in, wedging it in completely is an issue. Rashi learns, no. It's the basic idea of makke b'patish. Separate from binyans, ain't binyan b'kelim, but makke b'patish you have. Wedging it properly, kli to makke b'patish, and therefore it is a problem. We'll pause over here, we'll leave it for tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.